Welcome to the Career Conversations podcast, brought to you by Hunter Recruitment Group. I'm your host, Craig McGregor, and it's been a while. After 40-plus episodes a few years ago, we've come back, and it's time to come back. We've had a COVID hiccup, a move from East Maitland to Maitland for Hunter Recruitment Group, some busy times recruiting and changing staff, and it's now time to be able to head back to the podcast microphones and bring to you guys great career conversations with some excellent individuals. If this is your first time listening to our podcast, welcome. And to give you a little bit of an explanation about what we usually do is we sit down with someone from the local community and we talk to them about their career journey, how they've got to where they are, why they do what they do, why they're passionate about it, and a bit of an in-depth look at what they do. But more importantly, it's really about understanding someone's career journey and how everyone's different. And I love listening to and having conversations with people about what they're passionate about within their work life. So great conversations to come over the next few months. However, our first podcast in this series is a conversation with multiple individuals, and it's not a career journey conversation. What we're going to do over the next 30 or 40 minutes is have a conversation with a HR consultant and then two individuals from one of our favorite customers here at Hunter Recruitment Group, the Maywell Group. We talk to their CEO and one of their people and culture employees about how work life has changed at Maywell post-COVID, and in particular, how the Maywell Group have embraced hybrid and flexible work modes. But before we get to those conversations, first up, a quick chat with Candice McFadgen from 5-7 Consulting, amazing HR consulting group based in Newcastle. Candice is the general manager, and she gives us a little flavor about what's happening in the general marketplace with regards to hybrid and flexible work modes. So without any further ado, enjoy this first little part of our conversation regarding hybrid work modes with Candice McFadgen. So Candice, give us a quick 60-second elevator pitch on 5-7 Consulting.
So 5-7 Consulting are a locally based bespoke HR consulting organisation. We commenced 6 years ago, and there are quite a few of us who specialise in all areas of HR. So from WHS now these days, also organisational development, and then IR and ER as well. We are not an outsourced model as such. We work in parallel in consultation with organisations to provide support for when there's a lack of capacity or whether there's a lack of knowledge or skill within an organisation.
Yeah, so I thought it'd be worthwhile bringing you into this conversation that we're having today regarding the work from home and hybrid and flexible work models that have begun to occur post-COVID as you're out in the wider marketplace. I just thought I'd just ask some questions around, are you seeing a prevalence in an uptake in work from home opportunities?
Definitely. I think that what we're seeing in the market is that pre-existing employees are definitely trying to leverage a more flexible work model in regard to hybrid working conditions. So whether that be a couple of days in the office a week and then a couple of days from home, or more flexibility around start and finish times. So that's definitely a trend that we are seeing, but more so particularly when we are working with organisations who are going through a recruitment process. A hybrid work model is realistically an expectation of most employees coming into a business or most candidates that are looking for positions.
Yeah, absolutely. And as recruitment agencies, we see that every day. Has there been any sectors or markets that are growing in hybrid or flexible work more than others that you're seeing out there?
I think that particularly in regards to professional services, they've been really quick on the uptake for hybrid working conditions, probably more so because their work allows for that to happen more so. We are starting to see some areas like manufacturing explore hybrid work models. They have been slower somewhat in embracing that change. But there are some, obviously, some other organisations that are still trying to preface that face-to-face, office-based work environment.
Yeah, and so that, like you've just mentioned there, so manufacturing, a lot harder to do work from home. One of the trends that we're seeing is retail. I think retail is one of the hardest industries at the moment to recruit for because of price point and price point similarity to some of those administrative roles that you just discussed where hybrid work models are available. So do you see any businesses having challenges around this into the future or even today, not being able to offer hybrid work models when you have to be customer facing or you have to be at the coalface or the manufacturing plant?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of roles even in across every business, I think, or every industry that unfortunately just don't support a hybrid work model. If you're a face-to-face first point of contact, so for example, say reception, where a business requires a level of security to have people meet at that front desk, it makes it really challenging to have that person work from home because there is a requirement. I mean, some organizations are looking at alternative options, like having, if there's an option to have two people, they'll potentially work with both of them to have staggered days or those types of options. But I mean, realistically, retail is a really good option. Also, we're finding areas such as health, particularly for aged care, is an industry that, you know, unfortunately isn't necessarily able to offer that hybrid work model.
And what about one of the industries or sectors that we've seen a real growth in people coming through our door looking for a new job is education. It's very difficult to have a hybrid work from home model in a teacher. So those challenges, how do you see those challenges affecting those industries as we move forward?
I think that what we're seeing is with people wanting more of that flexibility, unfortunately some of those industries are seeing a significant decline in either people entering the market or their pre-existing employees are actually choosing to leave that industry and look for alternative options that are better aligned to their family needs.
Excellent. And what about in your consulting work? Are you having conversations with customers that could potentially move to a hybrid work model but just are fixed on not doing so? And how are you dealing with those sorts of conversations?
I think, you know, for some organisations, particularly those that traditionally have had those office-based, face-to-face roles, for some leaders, they're finding it quite challenging to adapt to that style. I mean, through COVID, there was a requirement. But although there is change, there are still some places where some of those leaders feel as if the absence of that person means that they're not being productive. Or that they're not, you know, they're not doing what is expected of them in their role, I suppose. And I suppose the conversations that we're having with them is that they need to adapt their style to, instead of managing a person based on the amount of time they're sitting in a chair, have a look at their output, have a look at their productivity. If they're doing their work, it'll be very clear as to whether they're actually, you know, meeting the requirements of their role.
Excellent. And how about yourself? Do you get to engage in hybrid new world working systems with 5/7?
I really do. It is one of the key reasons why I joined 5/7. Our director had embraced the hybrid working model before COVID, which was very nice.
Innovator.
And, you know, I have three children, so we work on what we call smart time, which is basically I work with a team to make sure that, you know, I kind of know when they're online. But realistically, as long as the work gets done and their hours are completed, if they log on at 7 o'clock in the morning and then log off for a few hours in the middle of the day to attend a you know, school assembly or something, then great, that's fine. It also works really well for us because, you know, quite often I'll be online late at night, as will our director and my office manager, and that allows us to do, you know, work review, peer review, and those types of administrative things that need to be done, you know, after the rest of the team's completed their work.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Candice. Really appreciate it.
Thanks. No problem.
Amazing chat with Candice. Up next, we have the CEO of the Maywell Group, Lynn Graham, who's going to outline why and how the Maywell Group have transitioned to a flexible and hybrid work mode. Okay, welcome to the podcast, Lynn Graham, CEO of the Maywell Group.
Thank you, Craig. Lovely to be here.
So we're concentrating on hybrid and flexible work. Before we jump into that, give us a quick little introduction about the Maywell Group. I think people here in Maitland that listen will know this iconic business, but those further abroad, let's hear about what you do.
Maywell has been around for over 60 years. It was established by families 60 years ago to provide supports to people who had disabilities. Started off supporting a school, then employment opportunities, and over the 60 years we've grown to be both an employment provider for people with disabilities as well as a provider of supports for people with disabilities. We receive Commonwealth funding through the DES program and the Transition to Work for Young People, and we are very well ensconced in the NDIS.
And so that Transition to Work contract isn't necessarily geared towards people with a disability either, is it?
No, it's for young people between the age of 18 and 25 who have vulnerabilities. Vulnerabilities as a result of experiencing barriers to employment. It could be can't access the right training, they may have an anxiety, they may not have progressed through school the way that most of us would like to see our kids do. So it's for young kids who need a hand, support and a mentor in order to get into the employment market.
Awesome. So servicing the community for over 60 years.
Servicing the community of Maitland, Dungog, Cessnock and Port Stephens.
Awesome. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the employment breakdown. How many employees do you have and what do they do?
We have well over 300 employees. Our employment numbers have decreased as a result of, you know, the COVID years. But we have frontline workers who work directly with people, providing care and support. We have frontline youth mentors working directly with young people. We obviously have levels of leadership within the organisation whose responsibilities is to lead, coach, mentor, support our frontline workers, and we have corporate staff who are the machine behind the delivery of services.
Okay. So we're focusing on that sort of hybrid work model and a new way to work, flexible work. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works here at Maywell?
It works well is what I would say to start with.
Yeah.
Just a little journey backwards. During the COVID years, we experienced shutdowns like all of the country, and we had to deploy our staff to work from home. And our frontline staff continued to provide services because we were considered an essential service. In order to have the essential service, it meant that we still needed to do all of our back-of-house corporate office functions. Our entire corporate office was deployed home fairly quickly. Like most businesses, we were scrambling in order to put in the IT infrastructure that supported that. So over the course of the 2 years, we managed that process quite well. Then, you know, most of the world has moved on from COVID. To a certain extent, disability and aged care have not. We still have a number of, you know, not necessarily restrictions, but the way we do business is not necessarily as free-flowing as the rest of the country. In saying that, it's very hard as a CEO to allow a workforce to work from home for a number of years, knowing full well that that workforce can be productive and can conduct themselves in a way that gets work done. And then to just because all of a sudden the pandemic is supposedly ended, to mandate that workforce to come back into the office. I don't necessarily think that is fair to the workforce.
It didn't make sense to you.
It didn't make sense to me as the CEO. So we decided that we would survey our workforce to understand what they wanted to do. Did they want to come back into the office? Did they want to remain at home? Or did they want a bit of both? And overwhelmingly, the vast majority of our staff wanted both. They wanted to be able to connect, to come into the office, and they wanted to be able to work from home. So we decided that in the best interest of the business and in the best interest of our staff, that we would support and mandate flexible work for whomever in the organisation can do flexible work in terms of working hybridly. Not all positions in Maywell are able to work hybridly, but those that can are
actively... We might get to that a little bit later on. I was going to ask you about that sort of stuff. So, so the why was definitely COVID. COVID brought it on. You weren't doing it pre-COVID, but COVID opened that door for you and you've embraced what's worked well.
I think that, you know, as you progress in a career, you know, I've spent many years clocking on, clocking off, being at the door at 8:30, leaving at 5, doing the commute, all of the above. And it does affect your work-life balance. You do get tired. It's very difficult to support your family and, you know, be in two places at once. And I firmly am a believer that, you know, happy life at home makes it easier to have a happy life at work. And happy staff generally produce better, greater, more. And that's the vibe that we're driving for here. So
has that been achieved, do you think, by making this move?
I think that people are able to manage their own lives. You know, I think there are people who, you know, work so they can live, and there are other people that live so they can work. You know, for those people that, you know, work so they can live and have families, I think they've been able to embrace this. And for example, we say that work should really be carried out between the hours of 7 and 7. You know, corporate work should be between those hours. You know, if you want to clock off to pick up your kids from school and then come back and then clock back on at 5:30 to 6:30 to do those last couple of emails, that's fine. You know, I take the view that, you know, staff are adults. They, if given the opportunity to work in a manner that is best for them, they produce. And we haven't, you know, there's nothing that has led me to believe that that isn't the case. We know when people are productive. We know when things get done and when they don't get done. And when things don't get done and we have an unproductive employee, well, there are conversations that are had around that. But it's very obvious when people don't work. It doesn't matter whether they're in an office in the back corner and they're clocking in at 9 or 5, you know, you can still see if the work's being done.
Yeah. And if you were reflecting on pre-COVID and your productivity and post-COVID and in your new work mode, do you think you're making more efficient workforce or the same or
I think it's more efficient. My view would be that pre-COVID we all came to work to the office 5 days a week. Some people would trundle out and get their morning coffee, then they'd come back and have a bit of a chat, then have a bit of a chat with somebody else. If we believed for a moment that just because we worked in the office that we were productive, you know, 7.6 hours of a day, I think we're kidding ourselves. So I don't believe that productivity goes down because you allow people to work from home. In fact, I think it's quite opposite. You know, if you've got a nice, quiet home and you know, you're there, there's not many people to talk to to waste time with.
If you've got to do focus work, you can absolutely have no interruptions.
Correct. I think it's difficult. I mean, we have some staff who have young children and I think they find it difficult to work from home, but they don't have to. They can book out a space and come and work here if they wish to. It's really about giving staff the choice of how they want to do their work and when they are best doing it. For example, myself, I come into the office when I have meetings. You know, I specifically come into the office to talk with people, to meet with people, to have conversations. I do my work at home in terms of reports and emails and those sorts of things in quiet time at home. I wouldn't come into the office now to sit and close a door to write a report. I come into work to engage with people.
What about that sort of social bump into people, new idea comes up? How does Maywell engage or create that in a hybrid work mode?
We, within the corporate services, we have smaller teams, a finance team, a communications team, a people and culture team, an intake team. Those teams still get together on a regular basis. We have built our corporate office with a bank of about 8 docking stations where you can dock and work. But the rest of our spaces are collaborative, and we actually have one space which has been designed collaboratively for a team of 5 to 6 people that can come in and dock and work together in one space. So people still have the absolute opportunity to come together to collaborate, share ideas, and the managers of those teams regularly bring their group together.
So that brings us to the logistics, just the footprint. Maywell has drastically reduced its office footprint. Tell us about that.
We had a leased premises where we were able to staff people in their own individual desks.
Traditional model,
55 desks. People would come in, big stationary storage, multiple photocopiers, one very, very small interview room. And COVID came and we deployed everybody home. So we had this lease premises with these 55 desks and nobody. Then coming back, we said, well, really, if we're not going to bring people back, we need to downsize our footprint, which we did. So we gave up that leased space and leased a much smaller space that we have really redefined what our corporate office looks like. To come into the corporate office now, you have to book a space. You have to book a docking station, and everybody has been deployed with a laptop, and you can come and dock and either take a cubicle or you can have one of two tried and true old style offices that have a desk and also a docking station. Or we have a number of collaborative rooms of different sizes and styles that you book in for use. So you want to meet with 10 people, there's a space big enough for that. If you want to meet with 25 people, we can accommodate that. You want to meet with 2 people, we can accommodate that. It's whatever you are requiring to do from a collaborative point of view, we can accommodate in our corporates. But you have to be a little bit forward thinking. You have to know that you need a space and you have to book it, because you just can't turn up and think that you're going to get a space or a desk or a room if you haven't done so.
How do you think the staff have embraced, because it's a big change, the current staff, because we can talk a little bit in a minute that, you know, Hunter Recruitment Group do the corporate services recruitment for Maywell, and I really see this as an advantage in terms of generating staff or candidates. But your current staff, how have they embraced it?
I think that they welcome the flexibility. So flexible work for us is also about not just hybrid work. So in terms of engagement of a workforce, from a corporate point of view, we have hybrid work where we don't specify what days you have to be in the office. However, if we're going to have a meeting with a particular group, we expect you to get yourself in there if you can. We then have flexible work, which is doing work between the hours of 7 and 7. So you may need to take a couple of hours off on Thursday afternoon because you have a doctor's appointment. So you can take those hours off and make them up elsewhere in the week. So there's flexible work, then there's hybrid work. And those two initiatives, I think, mean that people can, their home life is their home life, not overtly impacted by their work life. I think it is unfair of an organisation to expect that people ignore or leave their home life at the door when they leave to come to work. We're not two different people, no, no. That's different to saying when a support worker goes onto the floor of a house or a service that you really want them actively engaged and you want them to be thinking about what they're doing, not what they've left at home. But the reality is, you know, we are the one person. So if we can make that transition easier for staff, once again, I think happy home life, happy worker, better productivity, better customer service, all of those things are more positive.
Wanted to just discuss the separation you talked about with frontline versus corporate services. The ability for a frontline person to work from home is non-existent.
No.
Has it created two different cultures in your business, or has that caused any issues at all, or has it been embraced?
Oh, look, I think that, of course, there is a difference. I believe that frontline staff have the absolute control over their work life. They can accept shifts or not accept shifts, or work well within a roster, or to request a review of the roster. So at the end of the day, yes, they may work afternoons, they may work nights, they may work weekends, but it's their choice to accept those shifts. So they have more control, I think, of their working week than probably we do, even though from a corporate services point of view, we can work from home. We're still Monday to Friday and that's it for us. There's little flexibility in that.
Yep. Okay. In terms of the marketplace, we talked about our role here in Hunter Recruitment Group and your recruiting. Having that word hybrid, having that flexibility, it really has in this marketplace, which is very tight at the moment, it increases our chances of getting a good candidate. Have you guys seen that come through in the new staff that you've had coming on board post-COVID?
I think that staff have the expectation they want to work from home, they want some flexibility. As I understand it, the market is really, really tight and, you know, we're wanting to embrace people that want to come to Maywell. For us, it is about values fit as much as it is about skill and capacity. But yes, we've got people who are embracing.
Yeah, and we've talked about this off air, that there are businesses that aren't doing that at the moment, that aren't embracing this sort of hybrid work mode and post-COVID increasing technology to allow us to meet via Teams, do work from home, do work from wherever you like. That's going to make a difference to the kind of calibre of person that you recruit.
And look, I think that I don't understand a business that wouldn't be moving towards endorsing a hybrid work life. I think that if you want to attract the best candidate, you need to be a little bit innovative in your thinking. And wanting to attract a younger cohort, I believe that they have a different expectation of work and life than maybe people who are pushing towards the end of their career and thinking about retirement. People who are pushing towards their end of their career and thinking about retirement have been socialised into doing work in a particular way. I think that our younger members of society don't hold that view that work can only be done between the hours of 9 to 5 by clocking in, clocking off, and in a physical space. If we want to embrace and encourage particularly younger people to come into this industry, we have to be a little bit innovative. You know, our younger people are digital natives, and because they're digital natives, they are very confident and comfortable in that working environment. People towards their end of their career are not digital natives, and I think for that reason probably struggle a little with, you know, embracing that work can actually be done anywhere. And I believe work can be done anywhere. Our youth mentors, for example, can conduct their work in McDonald's whilst they're meeting with a younger person. That younger person doesn't have to come into a physical office to sit on the other side of a desk in order to receive the support that they require. And that's innovation in delivery of support. That's innovation in work. And I think gone are the days where we can mandate somebody turn up at 9 and clock off at 5. I, for one, want somebody who might be thinking about work at 7:30 in the morning, jotting it down, getting it done, and then, you know, maybe coming back later in the afternoon. I think sometimes the Spaniards have it right when they talk about a siesta in the middle of the day. Not that I'm advocating for that, but, you know, the way work is done has changed, and the sooner that I think we come to grips with that, I think the better off we'll be.
Yeah, and look, that was a really great little 4 minutes of conversation or thought process that I see in the marketplace, and I've experienced personally. Your thinking is different. Most managers, most high-end individuals that I deal with believe that people should bend to their will or transition to what their business is. Sometimes you've got to think like, no, I've got to change. I'm the one that needs to change. Embrace what's coming through with the younger generation, with what people want out of work. And it's as simple as communication that, you know, I'm a bit old school. I love picking up the phone and talking to people. And sometimes I kind of reflect on it and go, I actually think I'm making the person on the other end angry because they want a text or they want an email. So I need to change? And that's what you've done here, basically. Mm. You've gone, we've embraced what the marketplace is telling us, what my staff want, rather than going, this is how I've done it for the last 40 years. No, we're going to do it like that. Okay, let's embrace the change, and it's been a success.
I think that as, and I don't play the gender card very often, but I think as a woman who has, you know, raised a family, you know, whilst working and clocking on 9 to 5, I understand the inherent stresses firsthand. And had I had flexibility 20, 30 years ago, I think I would have found the marriage of work and family just a little bit easier. And I think that, you know, we have to meet the market where the market is at, and it's changed.
Hmm.
You know, people...
Well, it's technology too. 20 years ago, we couldn't. We didn't have the internet like we did.
Look, six years ago, I didn't know that Microsoft Teams really existed.
Yeah.
5, 6 years ago. Now, you know, we've got a lexicon where we talk about, I'll meet you in Teams, you know. We still sometimes forget to unmute ourselves, even though we've been doing it for a few years. But, you know, we can do as much without being face-to-face as we could. And it also means for us, as I mentioned earlier on, COVID still requires us to, if we have had a positive test, to remain away from the workforce for over 7 days.
Yeah,
That's not the rest of the world.
Yeah.
But we still have to deploy people home.
Yep.
So if you've had a COVID positive test, you can't come back into our workforce.
But you can still function.
Yes.
So why not be able to work from home?
Correct.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Lynn. Really appreciate your time. And it's been magnificent from the other side, watching what you've done in transitioning this great business into a hybrid and flexible business. And, yeah, I think you're kicking goals in terms of getting better people because of that.
Thanks, Craig.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks so much for that insightful conversation from Lynn Graham, the CEO of the Maywell Group. You can hear her passion about the importance of listening to her staff and embracing this new hybrid and flexible work model. And as the lead recruitment organisation for her business, I can really attest to how powerful it has been in terms of generating great employment outcomes over the last 12 months plus. Let's now turn our attention to the people and culture team, and one of those team members, Tom Underwood, who's a really important part of that team. Tom's going to talk to us not only about his personal experience with the hybrid and flexible work modes, but how it works for his team and also the greater organisation of Maywell.
Next up, we have Tom Underwood, part of the people team at the Maywell Group. Welcome, Tom.
Thanks for having me, Craig. How's it going?
Excellent. Mate, we just wanted to have a quick chat. The hybrid and flexible work that's on offer here at Maywell, how does that impact your day?
It's really changed pretty much everything we do. I was quite interesting when I came to Maywell. I came just after the first COVID wave, but before the big one in Newcastle.
Yep.
So I got used to that sort of in-office.
So you were here 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
Monday to Friday, and then suddenly we all went home. So then I had to get used to something that people had been doing for ages, which was the Teams, isolated working and all that. And I really didn't enjoy being away from the office, especially being in people team. But then as we came back, and we came back in this hybrid model with hot desks and laptops and mobile phones, it was really able to strike a balance in between the HR audity and, you know, paperworky side of the role, where I could do that when I'm not with people. But then when I'm in the office, I'm focused on people, which is fundamentally our role. It's about having those conversations, finding out those, you know, what's bugging people, the bees under people's bonnets, and then working to resolve those issues, which is something that you miss when you're isolated. You don't have those water cooler conversations.
Yep.
But so when you're in the office, you're in that mode. But when you're at home, you're able to do that. So I found I've been a lot more productive and able to dig in sort of into those two key focus areas, really.
Something that I hadn't thought of until you mentioned that. What about the use of technology and Teams in particular? I could really see like a people and culture team where person X is having an issue, they're working from home, they jump in on Teams and have a meeting with you on a Teams screen, it's a little bit more confidential than, oh, wow, Craig's just walked into the office with Tom. I wonder what's going on there.
100%. And, like, the culture of people coming into a head office and having a meeting with HR, like we had a HR meeting room where we'd have all those meetings. Everyone knew was like as something that was just like it just put a lot of pressure on the individual for no reason. Nowadays we're running an investigation and we're calling people on Teams. They're in their home. Mm. They're comfortable communicating. Yes, we still have those in-person meetings when they're required. But it just gives you that extra tool to make the individual more comfortable to communicate with you.
Yeah. And what about for Tom? Has it worked for Tom? So you did mention there at the start that you enjoyed being part of the team and being here.
Yeah, I think it let me find the balance that's right for me. I'm quite unique in the people team, being the youngest, no family, that sort of stuff. So for me, it's just I don't have to worry about looking after other people. It's about the workload that works for me. Which is really good when the other team are talking about, you know, they're able to pick up their kids, they attend swimming lessons, they can do drop-off easier, all that stuff is easier for them. But for me, the working balance really just lets me find the balance in the tasks I need to do.
Hmm.
And sure, maybe that stuff will come in handy down the future. But for me now, it's about setting myself in the right environment to do the work I need to do, which for me is really important. You put me in the wrong environment, I'm useless.
Yep.
I'll just get distracted, I'll get focused, I'll start talking to people.
Yep.
But when I need to focus, I can focus at home.
Yep.
And
you have control over that? You can do that when you like?
Yeah, so it's one of those things. Our managers are extremely flexible with it. At the end of the day, we've been moving away from the entire time of punch clocks and towards productivity-focused work.
Yep.
We have complete control over when we're working from home and when we're not. But with a decentralized team like that, the key thing becomes communication. But with platforms like Teams, with SharePoint, everything's centralized, everything we're able to communicate between each other really effectively. And we probably talk more than when we were sitting in our little desks.
Yeah. Yep. And so that sort of do you tell me about the team? Do you have specific days where everyone comes in,
part of the people team? Yeah, so we aim to pull together. Of a Wednesday, we book one of our team meeting spaces, which is a group of hot desks that are all central with a door, you know, to let teams work as a team. So on a Wednesday, we'll all try and come in. Obviously, some people can't come in, some people do that. It's a flexible sort of thing, and then we'll come in for a team meeting and really catch up. That's where we try and push that in-person time. But especially with this, as long as everyone knows who's remote and when, which we're doing pretty effectively, it's probably easier to get in contact with people than it was back in the day because, you know, they've got a little green light or a red light if you can talk to them or not.
Yeah, perfect. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, Tom.
No worries. Thanks
really
for having me,
Craig. Really appreciate your time.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to our return episode of the Career Conversations podcast brought to you by Hunter Recruitment Group. And if working in a hybrid and flexible work mode is something that is enticing to you, then I encourage you to start a conversation with HRG today as we are the exclusive recruiter for the Maywell Group. A special thanks to all of our guests, to Candice, to Lynn and to Tom. Thanks so much for giving of your time and of your expertise and telling us about how this new work mode post-COVID has been so effective for Maywell Group and for Candice, for giving us some really great insights into the greater employment marketplace. Thanks for listening to the Career Conversations podcast, and don't forget to subscribe. Give us a review. Give us some 5-star ratings. It means we get risen up the iTunes rankings and more people will get exposed to our podcast. Until next time, I'm Craig McGregor. Thanks for listening.